Well, I've been looking forward to this. How exciting. In our series on New Zealand sporting history, today we're taking you back to moustaches, short shorts and the glory days of New Zealand middle distance running. For 17 years, Rod Dixon represented New Zealand. He won an Olympic bronze and dominated cross-country and road racing circuits. His victory in the 1983 New York City Marathon remains one of the most dramatic finishes in race history. He's now 72. And he's a passionate advocate for children's health and fitness. In fact, he's achieved a lot in that space, which we'll talk about. He's normally based in the US, but he's been living and working back in Aotearoa recently. And he joins me on the line now from his home in Marahoe near the Abel Tasman National Park. Rod Dixon, hello.
Well, hi there, Jesse. And I it was interesting you said 1972, and I tell the kids 1972, and it was the gold medal I won, but I liked it so much I had it bronzed.
Yeah, you. I mean, that's just one of your many achievements, and we'll cover as many as we can today. When did you know you were going to run?
I think probably the moment I could walk. There's something going on with our family, I guess. My father was very, very active. In his 20s, he cycled all around Australia, did over 30,000 miles. So he went over there and lived with the Aborigines and travelled and learned all about their eating and diet, because the Aborigines had the lowest recorded ever of cholesterol levels. And my father was very fascinated with that. And that was back in the 1940s, 50s, you know?
Okay. And he pushed you as well, right?
Yes. Well, he encouraged us. We used to go down to Tahuna Beach for a swim most nights. And he would run with John and I, and my sister would come along with us. And we would run right along the beach and back again and then have a swim. But my sister kind of gave up because she didn't like falling behind.
Were you competitive, though, as siblings?
No, because my brother was 3 years older and just so much better. So it was like, as my grandfather told us, the three words to remember all your life: learn by doing. So I was learning from my brother, and I couldn't keep up with him, but he would slow down. And then if I tried to race him, he would just sprint ahead. So there was no point. There was no competitiveness. It was participation and having fun and laughing and talking.
Did you manage to find an early mentor outside of your family, someone who could give you some instructions and start you thinking about this as a competitive option?
Well, I think probably what inspired us all in my teens, but I will go back to 1960 when Sir Edmund Hillary came to my school. And he told us kids that Mount Everest wasn't high enough for your goals, dreams, and aspirations. And I think, that newspaper cutting was on the refrigerator for about 10 years. So it was an inspiration to us. So, but joining the running club, the Nelson Amateur Athletic Harrier and Cycling Club, and I joined that in 1962. And Harold Nelson, who was a 1948 Olympian and 1950 British Empire Games gold medal, silver medal, he was our club chairman, and the club captain was Kerry Williams, who is a four-time New Zealand cross-country champion and athletic director at Nelson Boys College. So those were very, very inspiring people. And then my brother started to win races too. So it was an incredible environment to be in.
When did you first represent New Zealand?
1971. We left here for the World Cross Country. So we had the trials in Wellington in 1970, and then the team departed early 1971 for San Sebastian in Spain. And we travelled as an amazing team and some amazing runners. So that was my first experience overseas. I remember we what was the Boeing 707, I think, we had to fly to Fiji and then on to Honolulu and then on to LA. We bunny hopped across the world.
I hope you got to eat some food at San Sebastian, by the way. It's a pretty famous culinary destination.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I was just, I think that was the inspiration, Jesse, that I realized that this was my journey. This was something exciting. This was amazing. And, of course, being a runner, the team all ran together and training, and we would look at the map. A guy called Brian Rose was our team captain, and he said, look, we're going to go here, and we're going to go up to this mountain here, and we're going to look at the view. And then the next day, be down the beach, or another to a village. So it was just like we were on a tourist visa, traveling. Amazing.
Yeah. But hang on. So 1971, you represent New Zealand for the first time. I think you come 10th in those World Cross Country Champs. But then it's only the following year that you're at the Munich Olympics and you get a medal.
Well, that was amazing, Jesse, because I came back after finishing in the World Cross Country, and I think my brother said, what goal have we got for next year? And somebody said, well, the Olympics are on. And I looked at John, and John sort of said, well, what do you think? And I said, really? The Olympics? I mean, it was not even in my thinking at that time. And, of course, I think, you know, I said it would be kind of cool to go to the Olympics. What I did do is I ran a couple of races, and I think the consent was, or the consensus was, that Rod Dixon should be thinking about the steeplechase, the 3,000 meter steeplechase, or the 5,000 meters, because he was a very good cross country runner. And my brother John said to me, well, what do you want to run? And I said, I want to be like Peter Snell and Murray Hilberg, and I want to run the mile. The mile is fascinating because of Roger Bannister and Laszlo Tabori and all these great people who had done it. And John said, well, then that makes our decision much easier. And so I did, but I got a lot of criticism because I don't think, you know, Rodney hasn't even broken the four-minute mile. He hasn't even finished at the national championships. He hasn't been selected for anything. But John had faith in me, and he said, you've already made your decision. I'm halfway there in the training. You will come to training every night. You will do what I say. And away the journey went. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And is this right? You turned up at those Olympics ranked 46th in the world.
Yes, I did. And that was something, but it didn't deter us because we had a plan. And John said, you know, they're for the Olympics, and the goal is to get to the second round. That is, they had heats, semi and final in each day for 3 days. And he said, and that's good for you because you're a strong runner. You're not that fast, but you're very strong. And the more races you have, the better you get, the stronger you get. And so that was our goal. Focus on the first round. And if you get that, you've done much better than anybody expected. And you've done as well as any other athlete in history. So that was the goal, Jesse, just to get. And, of course, I did. I got through to the I finished second in my heat, and went through to the semi-final the next day. And then I made a phone call to John. We had to go over to the communication center, of course, and book calls. We didn't have cell phones in those days. And when we talked to him, he said, think this the same way that you did the first round. Just get through this day, get through this race, and we'll see what happens in the final. And there again, I was so excited to call him to say, because, you know, New Zealand had got the results, and we talked about it, and he said, now, for the final, you know who the runners are, you watched them, and you've got to focus on what is the strength. And Kip Kaino was the 1968 1500-meter Olympic champion, and he said, he runs a race that is perfect for you. Stay with him. And so that's what I did. I did what Kaino did, I did. And going down the back straight on the last lap, Kaino and Vasala from Finland were striding out, and Mike Boyt went past me and kind of cut me off and slowed me down. And then I realized I had to get around him. But that stage, I'd lost about 5 or 6 meters. But nevertheless, I was running. I was running for everything that was in front of me, which was all the people, all the incredible support, the support of Nelson, of the people of Nelson, and it was just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Let's take a listen to the end of that race.
Kaino starting to keep that pressure on. 2:42 at the bell. Vasala second. Dixon moving through. Outsider Foster. Boyt makes his move. Kaino, beautiful runner. I think it's starting to hurt for everybody now. Boyt third. Dixon fourth. The Finn in second place. Polhill making a move from the back of the field. Kaino stretching it. Vasala, has he got a kick? Dixon's in with a chance of a medal. Here comes the Finn. He's got the measure of Kaino, or has he? Dixon is fighting Boyt for the bronze medal. Vasala will be first. Dixon may get a silver medal. He's certainly going to get a bronze. Vasala, Kaino, and a bronze medal for New Zealand.
He mentioned the hurt. They're starting to hurt. Do you remember the hurt, or do you just remember the triumphs, Rod?
No, I think I still, and we're talking 50 years ago, Jesse, and no, I can feel it. And in fact, if you could see me, I've got a tear in my eye. I still remember every step. I still remember every moment. And as I said, I think I knew at the faster it got on that last 600 metres, the better and the stronger I felt. And I knew going down the back straight, when Vasa and Kai, I knew that I had the strength to finish and finish well and finish strongly. So, yeah, it's very much part of my everything that I've done.
I want to make sure we get to the 1983 New York Marathon. But talking about the 70s, do you regard yourself as lucky or unlucky to have been running in New Zealand at a time where we did have our fair share of strong middle distance runners? Dick Quacks and John Walker, of course, come to mind, but I think there are others as well. Did you enjoy that competition? Did you enjoy having other New Zealanders at the top of their game? Or would you have liked some clear air?
Oh, no, I think it was amazing to meet them all over the years at the various track meets in Wellington or Whanganui, which was, of course, famous for Snell breaking the world record for the mile on grass too. And also to, you know, Dunedin and Auckland at the Mount Smart Stadium, Hamilton. So I was always drawn to get together and race those guys because we had this incredible history of Lydiard and Bill Bailey and Murray Hilberg and Peter Snow and John Davies. And, you know, they inspired us kids. They inspired us. And here we were going into another phase, another generation of learning from what they were doing. And we used to be fascinated listening to Lydiard and talking about his training. And that's how we all based our training, from the Lydiard system. And, in fact, Lorraine Moller, who is, of course, an amazing Olympian woman runner, she has really developed the Lydiard program into a certification program for coaches around the world. And she gets like 300 or 400 coaches from around the world every 2 weeks doing her courses.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Tell me about the 1974 Christchurch Commonwealth Games. I imagine there was a lot of expectation and excitement here in New Zealand going into those games around the athletics program.
Oh, yes. We were coming into our own. I mean, of course, Dick Quacks and I took John Walker with us in 73 to Europe. And you could see very quickly how John was drawing in and taking everything on. It was incredible how quickly he learned. And he was running 800 meters, 1,000 meters, 1,500 meters against the best in the world. And sometimes he was put into the B grade race because he didn't have the times to run the A, and he would go out and run a time in the B grade race that would have given him a podium finish in the senior race. So it didn't take long for John to step up. And of course, in 74, he and I had traded equal number of wins against each other. And so we knew that this was going to be a kind of, you know, not so much a showdown, but it was going to be a show for New Zealand, because Walker and Dixon were a wee bit like Snell and John Davies in previous Commonwealth Games. And but we knew about Philbert Bayi, the Tanzanian. We knew that he would go out and lead from the gun. And so as much as we were very aware of this, when he took off, and you see, and you're influenced by the time, and you're thinking, he's on world record pace, and I don't think he's going to be able to keep that up. So we kind of stayed back a bit. But we realized with a lap to go, he wasn't coming back. And so it was all on for that last lap. And I'll never forget crossing the finish line and looking up at the scoreboard. And Bayi had set the new world record. Walker had broken the old world record. Third place, Gypcho, had equaled the old world record. And I ran the fifth fastest time in history and finished fourth in the race. It didn't seem right.
No. And there are a couple like that where you came close, or where something just went wrong at the last minute. And you seem like a really positive and bright-spirited guy, so I'm sure you don't dwell on it. But, you know, do you think about those near misses in the 1970s at least? Any in particular that, you know, that you would have liked things to go a little differently?
Well, certainly the Commonwealth Games in 74. Certainly that was a fourth place. And then 1976 at the Olympics, that was another fourth place. Yes, I'm not a big fan of fourth place. I'd rather get rid of fourth and go straight to fifth.
And then what happened to the Commonwealth Games in Edmonton in 1978?
Oh, that was, well, in fact, you see, I was ranked number one in the world, and I had beaten Henry Rono, the world record holder, twice that year. And we were in the finally gathering area, assembly area, to go to the stadium. And I go to get my bag, which had my singlet, my New Zealand singlet, and my handmade spikes, running shoes. And the bag was missing. It was gone. And I asked around, and of course it had my ID, my athlete ID in it, and they wouldn't even let me go from there into the main stadium because I didn't have any identification. And so we managed to get Les Mills was the manager. He said, well, he didn't take it. He doesn't know where it is. So we tried to see what we could do. They did allow me to, I did get a loan of a singlet, and they gave me another number. But then you see, I didn't have my shoes. And we had to put on the speaker system to ask if anybody had a size 10 and a half track shoe.
Oh, gosh.
They could loan me. You see, I was going to run bare feet, but I had the heats of the 1,500 meters the next day, and those tracks, if you run on those tracks barefoot, you might end up taking the skin off your feet. So I it'd be all right for an 800 meters or 1,500, but 5,000, no, that's too far. So I loaned some shoes, and it was just, no, I was just so uncomfortable. I think what it is, Jesse, when I look at four quarters, and one is mental, one is emotional, one is physical, and one is spiritual.
Right.
And spiritual, I mean by, you know, energy, not a religious thing. And I knew mentally I was tough. Physically, I was in the best shape of my life. But emotionally, you see, it had destroyed me. And I just I was up with the leaders, and then when they moved, I'd lost it. I almost burst out to tears.
Yeah, even when you're top in the world, the preparation has to be perfect, I imagine.
Yes, yep.
And you would have put all your energy into making sure it was perfect.
Yes, and then I went on to Europe after that, and won just about every race. So I knew I was in the best shape of my life. The same with 1976. And not too many people know that I actually got food poisoning 3 days before the final of the 5,000 meters. And it just took the edge off me. It just took, I knew when I was running down that back straight, and this is where I would normally win a race. And when I dug in deep, it wasn't there. The bag was empty. The basket was empty. And you know, to finish, I remember, you know, finishing, and we all finished within a second of each other. So, and the third place, he dove across the line, and he was given third place, even although I completely went across the finish line and his legs were still down the track. So that was just a little bit unfair. But anyway, we get up and continue to compete because we believe in ourselves. Yeah. And that's what I say to people. You know, you've got to take these little highs and lows. It's all part of the journey.
Tell me about 1983, New York.
Well, of course, 1980 was the boycott of the Olympics, and that devastated me because I wanted to put right what I had got wrong in 76, and I was devastated, absolutely so disappointed. And so I thought, well, we were in Philadelphia at the time, Pennsylvania, and there was a road race coming up that weekend, and I said, you know, I'm going to run that road race, and then I might go back to New Zealand. And I ran the road race. It was called a Pepsi 10K road race. And I finished third, and there was like 5,000 people. And, you know, you got on the podium to get your medal, and the crowd went wild, and they thought it was amazing. And I thought, this is kind of cool. It's a wee bit like Hollywood, you know. It's amazing. And so there was another race coming up the next week, and I said, you know, I might do that one too. And I won that one. And then I won two or three more, and I thought, no, this is my next step. This is my next journey, road racing. And road racing was very, very popular, 10Ks and the half marathon. The marathon wasn't that popular in those days, not in 1980, but because people had only just started to run. They only just started to be inspired to. Mm-hmm. And 10K really was the half marathon today is the new 10K, and the new half marathon is the marathon. So, and we've got, you know, like 50,000 people just ran the Berlin Marathon. So, and 200,000 people wanted to run it. So it's the running boom has certainly come.
So did you enter that New York Marathon in 1983 thinking I could win this?
Interesting. Well, I went to the World Cross Country in 1982 and got another bronze medal. I got a bronze medal in 1973. And then I knew that cross country had played a big part in my journey. And so I went back to building the strength back into cross country to give me more strength to running half marathons. And when I had done that, Fred LeBeau from the New York Roadrunners, he came over and he said, you have just got another bronze medal and it's time for you to run a marathon. But you see, I didn't really want to run a marathon that year because I was running so many road races. But I did come back to New Zealand in May and I ran the Auckland Marathon. It was called the Pastor Marathon. And I went out there and I ran it and I won it in 2 hours, 11:21. And I really felt like I'd turn around and do it again. It was just something very, very unique, very special. And so I kept that in my mind, but I wasn't going to run another marathon that year because I had so many other races that I had agreed to do. But what I did say is that I will run a marathon. And of course, London and San Francisco and Boston and all these races wanted me to run my next marathon. But I went to New York and I went and looked at the course, and that course really suited me. And I thought, that's it. So I focused from 1982 at the New York City Marathon that 12, I stood on the start line, finish line, and I said, what Arnold would say, I'll be back. And I knew that I was going to come back that next year after 12 months of focus and training to run the New York City Marathon. And so when I went to the start line, I thought, I've done everything I can. There's nothing more. There's no stone unturned. I've climbed my Mount Everest. This is it. Now I'm just 26.2 miles from the top of Mount Everest. And I think that's when the gun went and I ran and I had my times all on my fingers. I typewrote them down. And when I stayed with my plan and my plan to race, it started to unfold. I didn't catch the leader until 26 miles. So I only led the race for 385 yards. But boy, when I came around that corner, and I think, you know, when I crossed the finish line and I put my arms up and I to the heavens and I kissed the ground and I said, this is my defining moment. This has been my journey. All the highs and lows and all the experiences I had, it's all come together here and I am blessed. And that was it. It was just incredible.
Let's take a listen to that moment.
Rod Dixon's in sight. Rod Dixon in sight. There's Jeff Smith coming over the last prize. Dixon, a tremendous competition here in New York, 1983. Rod Dixon sprinting home to the finish. Rod Dixon, a spectacular racing effort. Face in agony. Rod Dixon, 208.58 unofficially. And here comes Jeff Smith. Pain on his face. Agony, 209.07 unofficially. And he hits the pavement at the end.
Incredible. I just watched that again. Yes, you're like a lion in those last few hundred metres. That's what you're talking about, eh? That's your strength.
Yes, it was interesting because, you know, over the from about 20, 21 miles, the road, you know, they're only the streets. So I would come into a straightaway and he would just be going out around the next bend. And so, you know, you had to keep focused on what you were doing because he was out of sight. I couldn't see him.
Oh, made for a great camera shot, though, with him in the foreground and then you coming around the corner of the background. I'd encourage everyone to go take a look at it on YouTube. A great moment for New Zealand. I've got so much else I want to talk to you about, Rod, but we are out of time. And I hope that you might come back in another time to talk about the Kids Marathon Foundation and some of the other work that you have done. Did you know you're the only Olympic medalist in the 1500 to also win the New York City Marathon?
Yes, I know. I was reminded of that the other day when, and of course, it's 40th anniversary for the New York City Marathon next year.
Yeah, great.
So it's quite cool. And I just hope, you know, and I was actually this morning I was at the primary schools cross country championships for Nelson Tasman Wellington.
Yeah,
and I was just so inspired by these young kids who are just out there having an amazing time. And it breaks me into tears because when I see it, I just remember when I was that little kid.
Of course you do. Of course you do. It's a pleasure to talk to you. We will talk again, eh? Nice to talk to you, Rod Dixon. Really appreciate
Thank
your time
you.
Today.
Thank
Rod
you.
Dixon remembers his New York Marathon win in 1983 and his other successes in the 70s and beyond.